Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, we premiere our Summer Movie Awards, a series of debates about the best ofs in various categories. First up, summer blockbusters. Before you line up at the ticket booth for Stealth or The Dukes of Hazzard, we want you to reflect back on the best popcorn movie of all time. Was it Raiders of the Lost Ark, Independence Day, Men in Black? Send us your nominee and a short explanation of why to TOTN at NPR.org. And be sure to include your phone number. We may get you on the show to defend your choice. It's Talk of the Nation's Film Awards starting this Thursday on Talk of the Nation. The common ingredients for a summer blockbuster often include an exotic locale, dastardly villains, a touching love story, and a lot of explosions. The Constant Gardener, which comes out late next month, has several of those elements. It also has spy novelist John le Carré's insidious paranoia and the highly caffeinated camera work of Brazilian director Fernando Meirelles. The Constant Gardener follows a mid-level British diplomat assigned to Kenya as he searches for his wife's killers through the steamy intersection of giant pharmaceutical companies, third-world corruption, and ruthless capitalism. Fernando Meirelles' last film was also an exploration of love and death in a hot climate. City of God traced 15 years of gang wars in Rio de Janeiro's worst slum and earned him an Oscar nomination for Best Director. Fernando Meirelles joins us here in Studio 3A, and welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
If you have questions for Fernando Meirelles about his past films or about the process of making this one, the Brazilian film industry, give us a call, 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, and our email address is TOTN at NPR.org. Now, Kenya is a long way from Brazil. How did you end up making this movie?
Well, I was in London. It was almost by chance. I was in London and I met the Simon Channing Williams, the producer of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Newell was supposed to direct the film, but he was invited to do the Harry Potter. And so when I met Simon, I mean, 1 week before he had lost his director for the project, and he gave me the script. I read during the night in the hotel, and I came back next day. It was a very interesting story set in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be very interesting shooting in Africa. And the plot deals with pharmaceutical industry, which is a big issue in Brazil. Because, I mean, Brazilian government, they provide a free treatment for AIDS. So they buy, they buy drugs for AIDS, against AIDS, directly from pharmaceutical companies. So
mm-hmm.
they're always fighting about costs and all that.
About getting generic drugs as
yeah,
opposed
well,
to...
Yeah, well, Brazilian government, 5 years ago, they started to produce generics because they couldn't get to a reasonable price for the drugs. And so that's how the war between Brazilian government and the pharma industry began.
So that's one of the things that interested you.
Yes, because I've been following this issue for the last 5-4 years. So I thought it would be interesting doing a film on pharmaceutical. I mean, they're the perfect bad guys.
Well, and it's interesting. In this film, it's a John le Carré plot. It's from his novel, and these are very tightly plotted books. Very different from your last film, which was a much more personal movie.
Yeah, but I mean, in my film, because my film, I had lots of characters to
mm-hmm.
try to show City of God, this neighborhood in Rio de Janeiro. My idea was to try to show something through those characters. And I think here I have the same thing. I mean, I'm trying to show a bit of Africa and to talk about pharmaceutical through some characters and it's a social issue like the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. It's a very different experience for me, because working with big stars like Ralph Fiennes and Rachel Weisz, this was a big challenge, and it's a big budget film, at least very big for my standards.
Mm-hmm.
So this was, I mean, I'm learning how to spend $25 million in a film.
Well, one difference is when you made City of God, as I understand it, that was mostly your money, your personal money. Now you're playing with $25 million of somebody else's money.
Yeah, that was a very, very low-budget film. I mean, with our own effort. I mean, it was a different experience.
Mm-hmm. What lessons from City of God and your previous work, of course, did you carry with you into this project?
Well, actually, the way in City of God, we were not working with professional actors. They were all amateurs. So me and Cesar Chaloni, my DOP, my cinematographer, we developed a way of shooting that would allow the actors to be very free. I mean, we had no stands, no light equipment on set. The set is like a usual place. I mean, you don't see equipment around, and
mm-hmm.
we're using always very... small light cameras, and so the actors could be very free to perform, to be focused on what they're doing. And we brought this experience to the Constant Gardener. I mean, we did the same way. I mean, we didn't use much equipment. We never break the scenes like usually people do in when they're shooting films. I mean, you put the camera and then you bring the actors and the actors perform for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
We did the other way around. I mean, we would let the actors do whatever they wanted and the camera was always trying to follow them. So the film feels a bit different from the usual, kind of thriller, I think.
I had the chance to see the film at a screening last night, and the colors in the film are extraordinary, even in the interior scenes. How did you get those colors across using, as you say, primarily natural light?
Oh, this is part of the process. I mean, usually César, he does a very flat light,
mm-hmm.
and so you can shoot in all the points of, I mean, in a certain set, you can shoot anywhere. And then all the photography is done on post-production. I mean, that's when you transfer from film to digital,
mm-hmm.
that's how all the films are done nowadays. When you transfer, that's when you really enhance colors, you bring contrast, you lead and you make areas darker. I mean, that's when he really works on the photography, and it really looks fantastic.
Let's get some listeners involved in the conversation. If you'd like to join us, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK, our email address, totn@npr.org. Our guest is Fernando Morales. His new picture, The Constant Gardener, comes out late next month, and we'll begin with David. David calling from Boston.
Hi, Mr. Ramos. I was wondering if you might be able to discuss race and skin color in Brazil and how you work that out in casting in City of God.
Well, actually, racism is not a big issue in Brazil like it is here, I think, especially because unfortunately the black population in Brazil is the poorest population. So I think there's you can say that there's a prejudice of, but it's a social prejudice, not a there's no racism. I mean, it's very usual in Brazil to see couples, black people with white people. It's very, very usual, and that's why 40% of the population is mulatto, is how we call the mix between white and black. I mean, it's I think it's a very different way to see the problem than what you see here.
Mm-hmm. David?
Yes.
Is that it?
Thank you so much.
Okay, appreciate the phone call. You were talking about the filming technique, which was much more open. You're having your characters not play to the camera, but play to each other. One of the differences in City of God, a lot of the dialogue was improvised, spontaneous. Obviously, in The Constant Gardener, you have a script to follow.
Yeah, but I was always trying to asking the actors to improvise and to come with new lines and to surprise the other actor. Because sometimes when you're repeating the same scene, one, two, and I mean, in the fifth time that you're saying the same lines and getting the same answer, it becomes a bit automatic. So I always ask the actors to try different lines, to say the same thing in mm-hmm. a different way, so the other actor will react in a different way, and I think this keeps the scene fresh instead of making it automatic, you know?
I take it...
Mechanic.
Yeah, mechanical, but I take it the screenwriter was off somewhere on the side of the set slashing his wrists.
Yeah, well, he came to some days of shooting, and he was complaining, but this was not the line that was written. I said, Jeffrey, it's the same thing. No, it's not the same thing. We had a couple of discussion about it.
I can understand. Let's get another caller on the line. Let's go to Dennis. Dennis calling us from Nashville.
Boa tarde.
Boa tarde.
Tudo bem?
Tudo. I think you should speak in English.
Yeah, I know. But well, my wife, she's from Americana, just north of Campinas, and she keeps telling me I need to speak Portuguese.
Oh, so. Right. Yeah, there's this city in São Paulo called American, which was colonized by Americans, yeah.
But I just found my wife and I saw the movie here in Nashville about 2 years ago, or a year ago or so. I can't remember the time frame exactly.
City of God you're talking about.
Yes. And given Lula's problems now and his governing PT party's corruption issues, because we get Globo on satellite so I still can keep up, help her with what's going on back home. Do you think your film has provided any influence in his government in terms of how they're dealing with the trafficking situation in Rio especially?
Let me insert that Lula is the nickname of the president of Brazil, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I think during the first release of City of God in Brazil, a lot of people were talking about drug dealing and a lot of articles on newspaper and all, but I don't really think it changed anything, you know. It's a pity. I mean, this is still a big issue in Brazil, drug dealing, but I don't think the film helped in any way. Well, it made this issue public. I mean, everybody talks about it now, but it didn't change yet.
Is that frustrating?
It's a bit frustrating, isn't it? Yeah. But it's very difficult to deal with drug dealers. I mean, because there are a lot of kids, you know, and
we thought we got them.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much for the call, Dennis. Let's see. This is Steve. Steve calling from Seward in Alaska.
Wow. Right. A long way from the City of God. But nonetheless, there was a point. I lived in Brazil and worked in favelas in the squatter colonies in the late 60s. And there was something about City of God that I never read anywhere. And I was hoping that you could underscore this, that the City of God was a public housing experiment whereby people removed from the squatter colonies, the favelas in the north and south zone, were moved out to this area in the Lacerda regime period using American AID money from the Alliance for Progress away from their work sites. And what went to pieces there at City of God was an attempt to reform the housing situation rather than the situation that people always talk about, which is the favelas in the squatter colonies.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, City of God, this is on the film. You see, we explained that on the film. It was not a favela. I mean, the intentions of building City of God were the best intentions. We're giving better houses for people, but they forgot that they would have to go to work, and they were far away from work, and there was no infrastructure. So all those projects, housing projects that were done in the 60s with the best intentions, I mean, failed. I mean, that's where all the drug dealers started their business.
But meanwhile, as you're aware probably, in Salvador and other areas, instead of trying to remove people from the Alagados, another name for original invasions or squatter colonies, there was encouragement of urbanization of those places right where they were so that they ended up on the tax rolls as part of the urban infrastructure. So there really is, in Brazil, bad examples and good examples of how things could happen. And this is still relevant given the current attempt to remove urban squatter colonies in Zimbabwe and other places.
Yeah, it really doesn't work. In Rio now, there's a program called Rio Favela, which is the same idea that they're doing in Salvador. They're trying to urbanize favelas. So they bring light and well, there's a good thing about living in a favela is because you're in downtown, in the best places of the city, and you don't pay for electricity, you don't pay for water, you don't pay taxes. So sometimes the government wants to bring all those things to a favela, but the population, they don't want to because they have all this for free. They just use, you know, illegal electricity, illegal. But you're right. I mean, they should try to urbanize favelas instead of removing people.
Steve, thanks very much for the call.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
We're talking with Fernando Morales about his films, the new one, The Constant Gardener, and also about the City of God. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Peter. Peter's with us from Michigan.
Hello.
Hi, Peter. You're on the air.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
All right. My question is, during the filmmaking process for this new movie, how was it different since the subject matter wasn't as personal and close to home as City of God was?
Yeah, this was a big difference. And another thing is that to shoot City of God, I worked on the script for 2 years. And in this case, I read the script, and 40 days later, I was in Nairobi looking for a location. So I was really working as a director. I was trying just to understand what was John Le Carre's view of that story and the writer's view of that story and tell their story. Of course, that after a while, after 2-3 months, I started to work on the script and try to understand better the story that I was telling. But uh, it, it it's a very different approach for me, as you say. I mean, the first story, I mean, I started from the beginning, and this one was somebody else's story that I was trying to get involved in, and I hope I've done a good film. I don't know. Let's see what people will think.
Peter, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I did want to say, you say pharmaceutical companies are the big bad guys in the film, but one of the subjects of the film is also corruption of the local government. The novel, The Constant Gardener, when John le Carré published it, was banned in Kenya because it addressed that topic. How did you get permission to shoot there?
Yeah, actually, when he wrote the story, that was Moy's government.
Daniel Arap Moy.
Yeah, he was the former president.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems that he has one of the most corrupted governments ever. But now there's a new government. And so we spoke to this new government. And they were very smart because they realized that we could shoot in Kenya, but we could also shoot the same story in South Africa. So she said, well, once we're going to do the film anyway, at least do it here because we have a small film industry that will have the benefit of learning how to produce a big movie. I mean, you're bringing jobs, you're bringing visibility to the country. And he said, well, this is not the best story that we wanted you to tell about Kenya, but do it. I mean, it's better than telling it from South Africa or
mm-hmm.
something.
Did you have, well, you just have a few seconds left, but I wonder, did you have logistical problems in terms of finding the equipment and the supplies and all that stuff that you needed?
Yeah, well, we knew what we could get in Kenya, and you can get a lot of equipment, lighting equipment, mm-hmm. and what we didn't got in Kenya, we brought from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it was very... I mean,
so we're some of that $25 million.
Yeah, we're spent for equipment as well.
Fernando Morales, good luck with the movie. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for the invitation.
Fernando Morales is director of The Constant Gardener. He was nominated for an Oscar for his last movie, City of God. He was with us here today in Studio 3A. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan.